Blog Talk Radio.
We're now in the air.
Yes.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I sung a lot of songs. I made some bad rhymes. I faked it all my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I've treated you more kindly, darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Baby, can't you see through me? Cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you.
Brooks, can you hear the music playing?
You taught me precious secrets of a true love withholding nothing. You came out in front, and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, cause my love is in the hiding. I love you in a place where there's no space and time. I love you for my life, you're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone, and I'm singing this song to you. I love you in a place where there's no space or time. I love you for my life, you're a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together, and we were alone, and I was singing this song to you.
Thank you.
thought I could. I'm giving all my love away, and there's only one reason that I would. And baby,
either bring those voices down or put them on hold. I'm sorry, Sister Gidda. That was very profound. as you were bringing it. I just didn't want anybody to lose what you were saying. As you can see, and I'm talking to the audience and I'm also talking to the panelists. As you can see, by the nature of my question, I'm trying to bring home an idea here. I started in general. I have one brother from one part of the country, another sister from another part of the country, giving you some background on where they grew up, how they grew up, the time in which they grew up, the diverse ideas that were in their communities as they're growing up, and I'm trying to bring it home. So if you would just bear with me, I'm coming to a point here. Sister Gidget made reference to the fact that in the beginning of the ND family, the nation-building family, that she made a promise to the brothers and sisters in the group who were unmarried that she was going to get all of them married by 2012. And it was something when I first came in contact with Nation Builders, I didn't want to join readily because I thought it was a dating site. And me, Brother Jason, I'm married, so I didn't think that it would be interesting to me insofar as I'm not looking for another wife. So I say that to say I felt the connection between brothers and sisters in the Nation Builders site where there was an eye towards courting and an eye towards finding out the intimate parts of one another's lives so they can build relationships and build families. So I brought it to that level, and on one side, I'm talking to Sister Gidget on the phone dealing with business and dealing with Nation Builders and dealing with Blog Talk Radio and dealing with other business ventures that we're involved in. And sister's giving me pertinent and great advice. Now, in my March number 7 life, I'm talking to and dealing with my big brother, Brother Richard, who is also a wonderful counselor, and he's giving me pertinent and good, sound advice. And I'm listening. I'm having one conversation over here. I'm having another conversation over here. And in some days, I would speak to Sister Gidget in the morning, and she would say the same exact thing to me that Brother Richard would say in the evening. And I said to Brother Richard one day, I said, "Brother, have you ever met Sister Gidget?" He's like, "No, who is that, sister?" I said, "You have to meet her. She's a dynamic sister." He's like, "No, brother, you know, I'm not involving myself right now. You know, I'm looking right now to better myself. I'm getting myself together. I'm really not interested in courting right now, but it's going to come." And I'm like, "Yes, sir, brother, I know, but I wasn't, you know, brother, you know, I understand how you are, Brother Jason." So on the other hand, I would speak to Sister Gidget, and I said, "Sister Gidget, there's a brother that I know, that I love, that I really would like for you to meet. He's got to meet you one day." And sister, first thing Sister Gidget said to me, "Brother, now, Brother Jason, I will talk to him as a sister to a brother. But you know I'm not interested in no brother right now like that." I'm like, "Yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am." And all it took was the spark of an interested intercessor to get Brother Richard and Sister Gidget to speak, and Allah is my witness that the part of this tonight's broadcast that is called Divine Intervention, it was not Brother Jason. It was my love for the nation. It was my love for Brother Richard and my love for Sister Gidget that even had me speak to them in such a way to say, "Here's another believer who you share interest and divine wisdom with. Please talk to them." And the door was open to what many of us who have been listening to Thursday night blog talk, to the Tuesday night, to Sunday, to Saturday evening, those of us who listen to Blog Talk Radio know that out of that spark, that divine spark, became a beautiful love of believers and love of the spirit of the people and the love eventually of each other to the degree where, y'all heard it, Brother Richard proposed to Sister Gidget on the air. And Brother Rakim said he knew it was coming. And there were other believers that were inboxing Sister Gidget saying, "Who is that brother?" And I wanted Sister Gidget to know that brother like I know that brother. And I wanted Brother Richard to know that sister, and there's some things that I pray that come out tonight that those who know that I would like to bring out, and I'm trying to bring it out in degrees so you would know Sister Gidget and you would know Brother Richard like I know them. So, brothers and sisters, I would just like to move tonight's show forward by getting to the part of divine intervention. And, you know, the root of the word intervention is to intervene. And to intervene is to involve oneself in a situation so as to alter its state or affairs. And the second part is to come or to occur between two periods of time. And you know the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad said last night to the FOI, there's something about the heart of a believer that is tied in with time and tied in with Master Farrakhan Muhammad. And those of us who have ears and can hear, you can hear our leader's voice. You can hear the voice of the Christ. You can hear the voice of Allah coming through a believer if you tune your ears to hear them coming. You don't look at the outside shell, but you look at the inside beautiful spirit. And that is where the divine intervention tonight comes through. So if you don't mind, Sister Gidget, could you take it from there? And please, if you need me to bear witness to this part, I will most certainly bear witness. But please, can you pick it up from where I left off, Sister Gidget?
Well, you know, Brother Jason, I don't want to get too sentimental on the air because, you know, they don't know that side of Sister Gidget at all. But I will share because I want for my brothers and sisters what I benignly wanted for myself.
Yes, ma'am.
So I can tell you that I'm a lot like you, Brother Jason. I kind of put myself on the back burner, and I wasn't in pursuit of a relationship because I had twice been married before, and I put myself into my work and into my nation, and I made a commitment to Allah that, you know, I wasn't going to choose anymore. I'm not looking, I'm not going to initiate or pursue, or I'm not going to be pursued, but that my work was going to go into my nation, my time, and my life. And at some point, and I expressed this to Brother Richard, at some point I began to lose a part of myself, a part of my femininity, because I often interacted with brothers and it was always business and it was always professional and I was never emotional and I was always logical. And, you know, I had just got out of the habit of doing things that just me as a woman would naturally do. I have raised my children, which are all adults now, and so I've been by myself for a number of years. And it wasn't until I met Brother Richard that I was able to reconnect to that part of myself. And I realized that, you know, in my process of working, trying to, you know, help maintain relationships and help obtain relationships, and in my heart of hearts, I guess I somewhat desired one, but I was reluctant. And so when Brother Richard introduced himself to me officially, Brother Jason, you know, he had a very unique approach. You know, Brother Richard didn't come with the Ricky Suave kind of conversation.
Right.
He came to me and he told me, he said that, "I am he. I am your husband." And I was like, "Oh, yeah?"
Yes, ma'am.
But if I tell you that the Spirit of Allah radiates from him.
Yes, ma'am.
Brother Richard has the most beautiful heart and the most beautiful soul of any man I've ever seen in my lifetime. And Brother Richard has a gift of insight. So he began to speak to things that I had put on the back burner, forgotten about, failed to address. It was kind of like a overnight audit of my entire life. And I grew to put my defenses down. And I grew to love him just for who he was initially, as a brother, you know, that brother-sisterhood bond, I think, was already there, Brother Jason, when I think you officially introduced us over the phone when we were on three-way together. But as I spent countless of hours talking with him on a Friday night at 7 o'clock, I think it was 6 a.m. the next morning when we got off the phone, and it had grown to a totally different relationship because I felt Allah in him.
Yes, ma'am.
When he spoke to me. And as you know yourself about me, I've had a long personal relationship with Allah. So I know him when I see him. And I definitely know him when I hear him. And so I had to submit to my desires, and I knew that Brother Richard was right for me. And it wasn't a question. It wasn't about, you know, let me put you through the test, you know, let me see what you're about, or, you know, let me see how many newspapers you can sell, how many classes you attend. It wasn't even about the courtship. It was already ordained by Allah that this man was for me. And for him not to have known me or know anything about me, he spoke to my entire life in one night. And so I had no choice but to submit. But I knew that at the end of the day, when I had a moment away from Brother Richard and I had a talk with my father, I knew that Allah was preparing me to do other things, but he didn't create us to be alone. And so Brother Richard came for me, and this work in raising our people out of their dead graves, because their spirits, a lot of them, are dead, and that is a mighty work, and I needed a mighty man to walk that path with me. And as you know, Brother Jason, you often told me, you say, Sister Gidget, you can't marry just a regular brother. You have to marry a God.
Yes, ma'am, and it is absolutely no disrespect to the brotherhood. It's just that
right. We
understand that inside of us dwells God. And it's got to be a man where that house is built and there's a live God inside. That's the only thing I would say. No disrespect to any of the brothers that have been trying to win your hand. No disrespect to them. But knowing what I know about you, Sister Gidget, and knowing who you are on the inside, it would be a disastrous relationship for you to be with a brother who is not prepared for you. That's all.
Yes, sir. And Brother Richard was definitely prepared for me. I was not prepared for Brother Richard as quickly. But if I tell you that Allah will give you what you need when you need it, because I needed someone who would understand me greatly. And Richard not only understood me, but he also taught me, and he continues to teach me things that I have questions about, and we share everything, and that, you know, we're friends, we're brothers, we're sisters, you know, we're in love with each other. So to have almost every entity that you need covered in one person is a rare find. And you know, not to say that Richard and I have not already been through some things, because we have, and we're still growing. But the love sustains us, and we already know that Allah put this thing together, so there's no turning back, because we're both that committed to this work. We're both that committed to Allah, and we're both that committed to one another.
Yes, ma'am. At this point, Brother Richard, I'd like you to pick it up from there and kind of add some color to the story and some bone, some flesh on the bones that Sister Gidget and I have been building on this story thus far. And let me say before you speak, Brother Richard, to the
I just need to know, can you hear me, brother?
Oh, yes, sir, we can hear you, brother.
Okay, because my phone went out for a minute.
Okay, we can hear you. But to the audience, right after brothers, we've fixed the problem that we have. We believe we have it solved, how we're going to take the questions. So if you do have questions, please hit number one and be prepared. And so, Brother Richard, if you don't mind, can you put some flesh on these dry bones of this story, please?
Well, beloved, you know, I have to start from you know, the beginning of this thing. And you know, yeah, you those who know me, they know I speak from my heart, and I'm very truthful. I don't like liars.
Right.
You know, and as I told sis that I would speak the truth to her, even if she disagreed, even if it meant that she walks away, at least she gonna say at the end of the day, damn, he told me the truth. And the truth of the matter is that my father has prepared me for sister. You told me about her, and I said, I don't know, brother. You know, I need to go to my father and ask him what's going on with sis because of the things that we discussed of her. And they gave clearance to it. And I came back to you and said, brother, yeah, sister is authentic. She's a gem, brother.
Yes, sir.
You know, and then you kept speaking, and I started picking up something over the airwaves, man. Tell him I ain't even gonna hide it no more, brother. He spoke directly to me, man. He said, brother, that's your wife. And as you began to speak to me about sister, I said to you, I said, brother, that's my wife right there. And yes, I began to ask you, what she look like? Is she like this? Is she like that? You said, brother, I can't answer that question for you. And then when you was at the event and I called you to tell you about certain things that was going on around you, are you there?
Yes, sir.
As they was speaking to me, as you was in a dangerous situation, I you know, for those who was on some spookiness, it really don't make me no difference, but I'm not going to hide what I'm about to say. You know, and I was speaking to you about the area that you was in, and you may bear me witness also, my father showed me certain things in your area, and I was not standing with you physically, but I was able to see it just so that he would deliver you from the danger of your assignment that you was dealing with. But
yes, sir.
Getting back to sister, you told me, you said, well, she's speaking on the air tonight, you know, and I believe that you need to call into the show. And when I called in, my wonderful brother, whom I'm growing to love more and more each day, brother Rakim, he called her voice, and when I heard her voice for the first time, I said, yeah, that's my wife.
Yes, sir.
And I called into the show, unbeknownst to myself, I should say. Because I really didn't mean to press the number one button, but somebody pressed it for me, and I was fumbling trying to find a way to get out of the box to, because I really didn't have nothing to say, and I'm in it now. So I spoke, I called sister's name, and I could hear in her voice when I spoke to her somewhat of a, you know, the girlish, you know, the giddiness. And I was like, I was like, praise be to Allah, she likes me.
Yes, sir.
You know, so I'm sitting here and I'm saying, okay, you said that she's my wife, then, you know, I don't have no other choice but to hear and obey. So when I spoke to sister on the show, she mentioned that, oh, brother, I can just hear, listen to you all night. And I tried to really just hide myself from her, brother, you know, and the next day I got a phone call, you was on it, and, you know, the three-way conversation took place, and she said to me, she opened up like, you know, I got some calls from my friends and family, and they was telling me that you was checking for me, brother, and they just wanted to know, are you my husband? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, sister, you know.
Yes,
sir. No, ma'am. And I'm trying to really, really to suppress it because I really, really want to give to her the world at her feet, brother. I have so much love. And, brothers, I hope y'all listening, man. I have so much love for this black woman, man. Honey, I will give you my life if necessary. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I love you so much because you are exactly what I prayed for.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Brother Richard.
I love you too, honey.
Yes, sir, brother. I got to give it the way it is, brother, because we as men, man, we're not passionate enough with our women, man, and we think that they don't go through what they go through, man. But my father showed me her pain, and he gave me specific instructions on how to deal with her, and this is why my passion for her runs deep like that, because of the pain that she's been through in her life. He showed me that she needed somebody to comfort her. And I said, well, if you're sending me to her, then I intend to deal with her in a fashionable manner, but you must show me what it is that you want done for her. And he said, brother, make her feel like she's a woman. Take all the masculine things that she are carrying and you take that weight upon yourself. So as me and sis began to speak, like she said, I sat there and I'm asking my father, I come in your name, so I'm waiting for you to talk. And he began to show me aspects of her life that I could not know unless I was there with her or she told me. And as these things began to be revealed to her, she began to see something in her future husband that some might disagree with, some might say, oh, brother's spooky or whatever. I really don't care what anybody thinks, man.
Well, hold it right there, brother, because we're going to bring that aspect into this. We're building towards something right now, and I wanted to, as we are building toward this, I wanted to have as many people that could bear witness to this point, because we're bringing this to a head. I wanted as many people to bear witness to what they saw during this point, because there's life in the words that you're speaking, Brother Richard. There's life in the words that you're speaking, Sister Gidget. And insofar as we can recognize one another from the inside out instead of the outside in, there's life for us in that as we're joining spiritual hands. I would like to bring in Sister Yvette, if we could bring in Brother Rakim Muhammad, if we could bring Brother in to bear witness to what this aspect of their building of this relationship into the real FOI show. Brother Rakim, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
All praise due to Allah. I was afraid that no one would be able to hear me tonight, but he brought me on.
Oh, Sister Yvette is on it, brother. All praise is due to Allah.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Yvette. You're doing a wonderful job, sister. She can't hear me. I don't know. But
Thank you, sir. We're trying. Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam, sister. Walaikum salam. I listened to this show, and I listened to Sister Gidget speak. I listened to Brother Richard speak, and y'all about to owe me some damn tissue because I'm going to get emotional just even listening to y'all. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, my brand is Scott tissue. When y'all go give my tissue, just give me my Scott tissue. It's 1,000 rolls, I think, on it, you know, 1,000 ply rule. I don't know how they word it, but it's 1,000 sheets. That's all I know, and I probably need all of them. But from the time I heard Brother Richard's voice on the show, I knew, and I think I told Sister Gidget, and I shared with her my thoughts about that. I said, and I think I told Sister Marilyn too. I said that brother's after Sister Gidget. Now, me being the brother that I am, Sister Gidget is my big sister. She became my big sister, her and Sister Marilyn, and I'm very overprotective as a little brother or big brother would be. And I'm like, bro, like, I don't, you know, ain't no Negro with me talking to my sister. You know what I'm saying? I got to check him out, you know what I'm saying, if that's the case.
Yes,
and
sir,
so
brother.
I spoke to Sister Gidget. I told Sister Gidget, I said, Sister Gidget, I got to talk to Brother Richard. Because from my understanding, they had talked on the phone all night. And I'm up here like, okay, talked on the phone all night. The brother had already asked the sister to courtship, I believe. And she accepted. And I'm like, hold up, ain't nobody going to ask my sister no courtship without them talking to me first. But see, the deed had already been done because it was already written.
Yes, sir.
So I had no control over that. But I did want to talk to the brothers. So I told Sister Gidget, I got some questions to ask your brother. You know, I got questions because this ain't going to go on without me asking the questions first because this brother got to meet my approval. Well, little to my knowledge, he already met Allah's approval. And so when I spoke with the brother on the phone, the brother spoke so candidly, so passionately, and he was so sincere and so loving and so, he spoke with authority. Like he was, like Allah had told him that this is his wife. So by the time the brother got through talking, and here I am, big bad brother Rakim, I'm up here like, I'm going to, this brother, you know how we use the N-word sometimes. I'm like, I'm going to talk to this brother. You know, this ain't going to go on. I mean, for real, without me talking to him. By the time the brother got through talking, every question that I had, every concern I had been answered. The brother, I mean, it was out of my hand, out of my control. It was all in Allah's hand, and Allah had chosen this brother. And I always tell people that there's somebody out there for you. Everybody ain't for you, but there is somebody for you. There's somebody for everybody, but everybody ain't for you. So this brother, quite obviously, and we're bearing witness to this, this brother is for Sister Gidget. And Sister Gidget, I had never heard the sister so passionate, speak so passionately about a man. Never. You know, she spoke so passionately. She was so emotional. And I'm like, damn it, Sister Gidget, you're a gangster. Get yourself together.
Yes, sir.
But you know something? Sister Gidget was a gangster. She probably still got a little gangster in her, but after she heard the voice of a man, that sister realized, and she already knew her role as a queen, but she realized her role as his queen.
Yes, sir.
And so what you're witnessing is true love being manifested between a man and a woman. And it was already ordained by Almighty God, Allah, before they were even born. It was already written on their hearts before they even spoke or even talked to one another.
Yes, sir, Brother Rakim. I wanted to bring this around full circle because all of us that have been intimately involved in this relationship, we started witnessing things that maybe we need to get put into some perspective, because I don't want anyone that is listening to think, as Brother Richard said, that we're being spooky. You also said it, Brother Rakim. There's divine intervention here. And I don't want anybody to think that we who follow the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who follow the Exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who follow Master Farouk Muhammad, I don't want anyone to get it twisted to think that as Muslims, we believe in the seen as well as the unseen. Those of you who are scientists, I'd like to put it on this level. Get your pen and paper out, because I've done the mathematics behind this. There are dimensions that ride alongside of us. They are here as we are here. We call Allah the Lord of all the worlds. That means that there's not just this world that we can physically touch at a drop of a hat. When we wake up, we inspire this world, and that's it. Allah is the Lord of all the worlds, and we as Muslims believe in the seen as well as the unseen. And I would just like you to take out your pen and paper in your mind's eye and draw this with me. The first dimension is when you have, let's say, a street. You live on Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. That's the first dimension, the singular plane. The second dimension is the axis that it crossed. You live on MLK and 2nd Avenue. That's two dimensions. The third dimension is you're on the corner of MLK, 2nd Avenue, on the third floor. So now you have the cross streets plus the height that gives it the third dimension. The fourth dimension is when you say, I'm on the corner of MLK, 2nd Avenue, I'm on the third floor at 3 o'clock. The fourth dimension is when you bring time into it. Fifth dimension, which is another dimension altogether, which is the dimension that brings meaning to things. When you are able to describe something, you're saying you're describing it by your use, unconditional use of the fifth dimension. These dimensions flow around us. The fifth dimension is the dimension that is attached to the throat chakra, the fifth chakra, which is found in the throat, which is the reason why when Brother Richard had to hear Sister Gidget's voice and Sister Gidget had to hear Brother's voice, it connected them throughout time and space. So now you have five dimensions that are all vibrating together to bring brother and sister together in the name of Allah and His exalted Christ. So I didn't want anybody to think that we didn't study for this, that this time that we're living in today is not only possible, it's here. And I want those of us who say, well, I imagined this and I imagined. No, you didn't imagine it. You visioned it. You saw certain things that were to come, and yes, indeed, they have come. And I don't want us to get all crazy here and everybody start thinking that I'm going to now prophesy this and prophesy that. You're going to know when you have heard His voice and you are supposed to respond in kind. And as we submit to that voice that we hear and we see the manifestation of that submission, we start to hear that voice on a regular basis. I know personally that Sister Gidget has heard that voice from the time she was a baby. I also know personally that Brother Richard, from the time that he was in Muhammad's Mosque number 7, officials looked at him differently because he would come to them with a strong voice of warning and reasoning. But because Brother Richard looked like the rest of us, sometimes they would say, brother's crazy. I think he's a little off. And I, as an officer at one time under the behest of an official of a laborer. I'm not going to call his name because it's not, that's not relevant to the story. But they asked me to remove brother from the house. They asked me to make sure that none of the believers was in danger because brother has a live spirit inside of him. And things were said, things were revealed to the laborers that to this day, they have to bear witness to the truth of what he said. And I, as an officer, I had to hear and obey, but I took brother to the side and I said, brother, you stay close. Brother Richard, am I lying?
No, sir, brother. No, sir.
I said, brother, you stay close because I recognize our Father's voice coming out of brother. I don't care what you look like. The outside is inconsequential. It's the reality of who is dwelling inside that house you got to bear witness to. So I said, brother, please, don't go far. Stay in contact with me, and I will stay in contact with you. And over the years, Brother Richard and I have had a special relationship insofar as I hear him. Sister Gidget, I had to call her out. I'm listening to sister talk to me, and I said, wait a minute, sister. Let me ask you a question. Do you hear a ringing in your ears sometimes? And she's listening to me. She's not saying a word. I'm like, you know, every once in a while do you hear a voice or some type of, you get some type of connection because the things that you're telling me, the intuitiveness and the insight that you're using, I know my father's voice when I hear it coming out of my sister. And I asked her, and she very, you know, very humbly, she shied away from it, but I had to call her out. I said, sister, I know who you are. I see your works, and I'm not a fool. Brother Jason is not a fool by any means. I know that there is a divine connection between these two believers, and it was incumbent upon me to ask them to speak to one another. Where it went from there, I don't have no, I'm not taking hold to that. Only thing I know that it was my job, insofar as it was a job, because it was really my pleasure, to introduce them to one another and let Allah take it from there. So I just wanted to put that out there, that we're not spooky, we're not crazy. Some of us, many of us, vision. Many of us talk. Many of us do things they call astral planing, astral projecting. Many of us have what the CIA has been working with for many years, and that's called remote viewing. When you can sit at one place and see things and hear things going on as though somebody put a TV in front of you. And some of us, we think that is us, and that power drives us insane. We have to humble ourselves and submit ourselves in such a way that we don't get carried away with thinking that it's all about us. The vanity comes in. So
yes, sir.
I just wanted to put it out there like that, Brother Richard. Now you can continue the story from where you left off, because I just wanted to do like I've been doing on your show. I'm not forgetting whose show it is. On your show, from the time we started, I wanted to build this conversation up into a point where we can have it on this level now. So go ahead, brother.
Well, let me say this first, beloved. You know, for those who say they believe, the scripture says that some would have eyes but cannot see. Some would have ears but cannot hear. What is it that you would have eyes but you cannot see? It is who God's man is on this planet today. Some of us have looked at the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan for all this time, and we still don't see him as we should. What does it mean to have ears but cannot hear? You have them physically, but you cannot hear the wisdom of God coming over the airwaves, for we are taught that sound travels. He said to us back in, I believe, 95, 94, he told us of an experience that he had where he was taken aboard the wheel, and he was told that he must come back and speak direct to the government of the United States of America.
Yes,
he said that when he was aboard this week, that he spoke to Elijah. He said that there was a speaker that was in the middle of the ceiling. Oh. He said that Elijah talked direct to him and gave him instruction, and he came back and he said he lives. You know, I wanted to say all of that to say that if you humble yourself and submit yourself, then you too can obtain permission to enter. But if you weigh over 150 pounds, meaning that number six that your brain ounces is dealing with is overweight, as it talks about in the problem book, about the uncle and the wife of the uncle of Master Farah, W.F. Muhammad. They weigh other than themselves because our thought process is other than themselves. So we can't have liftoff to obtain the gifts that we are given by Allah. And he told us that he would give us these gifts. If we just bow down and submit, we would hear him. We would have a direct connect. And this is why Jesus was able to do what he did, and he does.
But yes, sir.
There was disciples that after he left had to make his commission known to the people. And I'm going to say this straight out. Yes, brother, you're right. I was marched out of the mosque. Yes. Certain things was done. Yes, I was hurt like everybody else, but I'm not more hurt than the hurt that we put on our apostle. And
ahead,
so I humbled myself because I love you, black man. I love you, black woman. And so I've learned my assignment a long time ago. There's some who hear me, and they hear my father, and they know that I'm not what people proclaim of me. This is not emotions. This is passion driven for the love that I have for you. And if you don't understand that he has prepared a brother with an enormous amount of love for you that's willing to pay a price for you, then I don't know what you're looking at when you see me, because I love my nation. And I make no apologies for it. But I'm going to say this over the airwaves, and maybe y'all will bear me witness, man, because I deal with truth. But that which the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan spoke of yesterday in the FOI class, I've been sitting here speaking to my brother and my future wife for the last month, crying to them about this thing. And it's really disrespectful for him to have to take us as men into the street at the age that he's at and at the position and the height that he's at. That says to us that we have not grown into our assignment. He said in Detroit, I believe it was, I was away when he did this lecture. He said that Allah would send saviors.
Yes, sir.
Saviors.
Yes, sir.
Well, if you're not qualifying yourself to be that savior to your people, then my question to you is, black man, what are you preparing yourself for to be to your people? Either you're going to save them or you're going to destroy them. There's no straddling the fence today. And so, yes, all of that happened, brother. But I'm happy to know that there's some whom he has put on the planet that now have the same position that I have, and they can hear as I have, and they can see as I see. And so in me connecting with my wife, I no longer have to travel this journey alone. Because it's been a painful one, brother.
Yes, sir.
It's been, you don't know what it's like carrying this weight around with you. You're trying to talk to your people and warn them, and they're sitting here acting as though you done lost your damn mind. And your father is telling you, you got to go anyway, or I'm going to kill them all. And so I just want to let y'all know that I stand for y'all today. I don't care what the goddamn enemy do to me, man. But I'm going to stand on behalf of the Nation of Islam, even if it costs me my life, and even if you turn away from me, black man and black woman, I'm going to stand for you and love you in spite of your rejection of me.
Thank you, Brother Richard. All praise is due to Allah, who is
all
practicing.
Praise due to Allah. Yes, sir.
Brother Rakim.
Yes, sir.
You know Sister Gidget much longer than I have, brother. And
yes, sir.
I know that she has told you things personally that you wonder how she knew about it. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And what was your reaction when these types of things occurred?
You have reached mailbox number 832-889-306. Please leave your message after the tone.
Tell her to call in and press the number one. She's been disconnected.
Right, right.
Yes. What I will say, brother, I was really shocked because Sister Gidget, she calls me her twin.
Yes, sir.
And the reason she called me a twin is not only were we born on the same day, we have similar gifts. We both have gifts where we can read into things and tap into the spirit of a person.
Yes, sir.
And I was tapping into hers and she was tapping into mine. And, brother, that was freaking me out because I can try to call Sister Gidget. I can have my phone in hand. Or my mind is to call Sister Gidget, and while I'm doing this, my phone rings. It's Sister Gidget.
Yes.
Vice versa. Sister Gidget, she's making an attempt to call me. And boom, I'm on the line already. And you know, Mrs. Gidget's like, wow, there's just too many coincidences. I would put a post up in the building. Well, Sister Gidget would have the same. She would call me. She'd say, "Brother Rakim, I was about to put the same or similar post up."
Yes, sir.
And it was very, very unique. Very unique, because I got like a gift of dreams, and I got a gift of insight about a lot of things. And Sister Gidget, she has a gift of hearing, you know, and she has a lot of insight as well. And so it was confirmed to me that this sister was my big sister and spiritual twin, you know. And when Brother Richard came along, oh, man, me and Brother Richard, and this is how I know that Brother Richard and Sister Gidget were made for one another, because Brother Richard and I, we have just about the same connection.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have just about the same connection, me and Brother Richard. I mean, Brother Richard, it's kind of hard to explain, but
you don't have to say it, brother. They'll see it soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And
yes.
It's very ironic. The minister, and I know about a month ago, I spoke to the FOI in my city.
Yes, sir.
And I spoke to them about us going to the streets.
Yes.
And
yes, sir.
they kind of played it down, brother. They kind of played it down. I'm not going to disrespect Mike Musk or talk about my brothers. I'm not going to talk about it. But they looked at me like, you know, what this brother, what, you know, this brother, who do you think he is? And that lets me know sometimes there can be that old Negro mentality that still exists in our people that confirms that we as FOI or members of the Nation of Islam We have yet to mature and grow into the people or the persons or the entities that Allah wants us to grow into. This proves that. So last night, well, a couple of days ago, it was Sunday, I put a post. I always call the FYI the God Squad.
Yes, sir.
And I said, this is an elite team. We are elite, brother. But my take on being elite was take some brothers to the hood who are not afraid, who ain't going to be punked out by nobody, whether you're a dope dealer, gang banger, whatever you are, pimp, whatever you are, you won't punk out for our people because our people, brother, they are important. We got to save our people.
Yes,
and so
sir.
I was talking about reconstructing this God Squad. And yes, you know, some people look at Brother Rakim as being arrogant because I speak with authority, but I know who my father is.
Yes, sir.
I know what he desires of us. I know what his will is. And his will is for us to go out and deliver our people from the mental and spiritual hells of the wilderness of North America.
Yes,
and
sir.
So I know in order to accomplish this, we can't have no punks because Muhammad don't make no punks.
That's right.
If
I can briefly, my wife is, she has called in, but she needs her mic open. She's hitting me right now asking to open her mouth, her mic. I'm sorry, brother, for interrupting, but I'm...
No, sir. You're not interrupting, brother. This is
a
matter that needs to
take
care of.
I have her mic open, but maybe I need to call her back again. Because I have her mic open, but maybe I need to call her back again.
Are you there?
I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right. We good.
Thank you, Sister Yvette.
But to go back to what I was saying,
yes, sir.
It was very, very fitting when the minister spoke to the FOI last night and said, we're going to hit the streets.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And when he said this, you know, I'm looking like, wow, I was just talking about this. We had no idea what the minister was going to talk about. We had no idea.
Yes, sir.
Right.
We had no earthly idea. And me and Brother Richard, we even spoke on this. Did we not,
yes,
Brother Richard?
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We had no idea. Me and Brother Richard were trying to put our heads together, trying to guess what the minister wanted to speak to us about, and why would the MGT be allowed or permitted to listen in on our meeting, you know, or even watch the meeting for that matter. I mean, we had no idea, but it was something that had us tap into the spirit of Minister Farrakhan, which means that we are still.
I just wanted to ask you and hold you at that point, and I just wanted to interject this question here. How does it make you feel as a believer when it is confirmed that you're on the right track in instances like that where our apostle says something that we have been trying to or we have been thinking about? How does that make you feel as a believing man?
Brother, it makes me know that Allah is real. There's no God but Allah. And Muhammad, the honorable Elijah Muhammad, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, is his messenger, and he left us the holy apostle, and there's no damn doubt he is the holy apostle. Whoever this imposter is over there in Rome, he needs to sit his ass down because there is nothing that he has of good for our people or any people of the human family. The one is the honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that's the apostle, and me being an FOI, who from the time I was a little boy, I've always questioned everything that was going on because I grew up in the Catholic Church. I grew up going to Mass, worshiping all these different entities that had nothing to do with Almighty God Allah, and I always questioned, why are we praying to Mary? Why are we praying to these apostles? Why are we praying to Jesus? And in school, my teachers used to tell me, don't question God. I said, I'm not questioning God. I'm questioning you and what you're teaching me. Because
yes, sir.
I am reading the scriptures, and the scriptures plainly state that you worship no God but God, for he is a jealous God. Set no God beside him, before him, or after him, because there is one God, and he is the God. And
yes,
so,
sir.
Since the time I was a little boy, I had a desire to know the truth, and when the truth came to me, all I wanted to do was get this truth to our people. And when I heard the Minister Farrakhan give us his marching orders after I had already tapped into his spirit.
Yes, sir.
It confirmed, it reconfirmed everything that I've always believed, is that Minister Farrakhan is the one, and I was born for this mission.
Yes,
I was
sir,
born. Yes, sir.
That is the spirit that I think that we all felt in the confirmation. And as Brother Richard said, and as you said, that it saddens us to know that we have to take on a mantle and the instructions that we should have already been following, but it's been in our breast. At this time, Sister Yvette, I know we have some callers that are in and they've been patiently waiting, and I would like to bring
yes,
one of the callers in with a question, if you don't mind. Please pardon our,
yes,
our tardiness, but, you know, I get into this subject and it really takes me. So if you can have the caller, please.
Okay, we're going to bring in caller 505. Okay, caller, ask your question and make your comment, please.
Yes, caller.
Caller, 505.
Caller
from
area code
505. That's my sister, Native Angel.
Sister,
yes,
are you
hello.
There? Yes, ma'am.
Let's try the next caller. Okay, let's take the next caller from 843. Hello, caller, are you there? Hello? Caller, you asked a question, make a comment, please.
Brother Jason.
Yes, sir.
Is there a way that we can tie this into this Thursday where we can hear what the people have to say? Because I think what they have to say is very, very important and very
true. Right. I would like to put this out there because, as you know, Brother Richard, I don't come of myself.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
I spoke with you. I spoke with Sister Gidget, and I said that I would be more than happy to host your show this evening because there's no way in the world that you could host and guest at the same time. So if you don't mind, if you would like to extend this subject to this Thursday, I would like to be as many of those who are listening tonight. I would like to be one of those who call in and listen in because the subject is such a way that it needs to be handled with professionalism and respect to those who would like to call in and make their point known, and I would like to be able to sit down and listen like I normally do on Thursday night. So if we do this subject this Thursday, I would like to say that it will be hosted and continued by Sister Gidget, whose show it actually is on Thursday night.
Yes, sir.
Can I say something? I want to tell Brother Jason something that you and I both, and this is where I know you're my twin sister, I'm going to tell him something, and Brother Jason also has a gift because he just about know what I'm about to say, don't you, Brother Jason?
Right.
Listen, Brother Jason, we won't let you off the hook that easy.
Right. He needs to get that off his mind. and since I am one that's going to be interviewed, Brother Jason, I can't interview him myself.
Yes, ma'am. And Brother Rakim, as long as you're going to be by my side, brother, I would like to say that this coming Thursday we extend this show. And Sister Yvette, thank you so much for the wonderful job that you are doing. And I don't know if any of those who are listening understand. I've never seen the Blog Talk Radio board, but I do know that it's not that easy to run on, especially on short notice. So sometimes if we do have technical difficulties, I don't want anybody to think that we're not striving at all points to give you the best and the most that we can. So sometimes it's us and sometimes it's not. Last week, our dear brother, Brother Forrest, he was host. He was running the board. He was engineering that night. And it was a technical difficulty that was beyond his control. And I didn't want anybody to turn around and look at brother differently and say, oh, brother's not adept at engineering or sister's not adept at engineering. I would like for us to always look for the best in each other and be thankful for what it is that we as brothers and sisters are trying to do in
yes,
the name
sir.
Of Allah and His Christ to bring us the best that we can. We're not on no ABC World News Tonight budget here. Everyone that is here and working is taking time out of the things that we all normally do on these nights. And I would like to extend my love and my thanks to Sister Yvette for running the board.
Yes, yes,
and
sir.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir.
By this Thursday,
I do apologize.
Yes.
Sister Yvette, when I first came on the show, the first thing I said, I said, Sister Yvette, you're doing a wonderful job. So, Sister, that still stands. That still holds. That still holds. You're doing a wonderful job.
Right. I would just like to extend that to the audience as well to please bear with us and be back this Thursday night and inshallah, God willing, all the questions that you have, if you can post them on the Nation Builders site, if you can, text them to us, and if you can, be here Thursday and bring those questions out and bring many more questions out and bring many more people out for Thursday night's show. So, Brother
Hosted
Richard,
by Brother Jason and
Brother
Galori
Richard,
Muhammad.
Brother Richard, Brother Rakim, Sister Gidget, if there are some words that we have, finally, I would like to close the show out because we don't have that much more time. If any
okay.
of you would like to say anything and leave time for the others, if you don't mind. As-salamu alaykum.
I do want to say something. Wa alaykum as-salam. I want to say something. I want to make this real brief and very, very swiftly. I know the sisters listen to the show, and the sisters they so desperately want a husband. Poor little things. But I'm going to tell you something, sisters. If you really want a husband, Allah has fashioned that man for you. He's out there for you. You don't need to have no man cloned, or you ain't got to take another sister's man just because you don't have a man. And I'm not throwing no stones at nobody out there. I'm just simply saying that Allah has prepared your soldier. So don't look over here thinking that you're being left out. Allah has not forgotten about you, black woman. Just remember who you are. Stand your ground and walk your post in a perfect manner, and your soldier, you do your job, you meet Allah halfway, your soldier is going to meet you halfway, sister, and you will be intertwined with that one that was chosen for you. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Brother Rakim.
Well, you know,
yes, sir.
Let me begin by first apologizing, as my father has instructed me to do so, for those who cried as they heard their brother cry. But when I cried of joys of tears of joy, but he have instructed me to not to make you cry anymore. And I just wanted to apologize. Secondly, I just want to say to my future wife, I love you so dearly, and I have been incomplete until I found you. I have been made whole. I prayed for you. My prayers has been answered. I love you so much, and I thank the Lord that He blessed me to see. I thank Him that He blesses me to understand you. And yes, I spoke to your pain of your past, because I am your future, and I thank Allah for you responding. But I must remind you, I told you that they told me that if you fought me,
that it was your loss. So I thank you for recognizing that I am of them and they are with me, backing me. And I just want to say lastly that to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, once again, I love you. I love you because you stood for me when I didn't know how to stand. And I thank you for being my crutch upon which I'm able to lean on. May Allah bless you and your family, and may he keep you safe, brother. I love you with all my heart, and at any given time, I will lay down my life for you, especially for you, above all my family, my mother, my children, and including my wife. I love you, dear Holy Apostle.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Gidget,
are you here?
Woo! Okay. Wow. I just want to say thank you to the Nation Building family because they are always there and they're always so supportive and loving towards us. And I want to thank Brother Rakim for letting me just be myself and letting me share his vision and try to bring it into fruition. And Brother Jason, you know, I know how modest you are, but like I was telling you earlier, you are a remarkable brother, and I love you, and I appreciate you so much. And I want to say this on behalf of Richard. I call him my husband because he is my husband. For those of you who may not understand him, you know, it's okay that you don't understand. But the same thing that Richard feels, a lot of us feel, we have to come into the knowledge of Allah, and we have to be able to recognize Allah, and we cannot be in a box anymore. Allah wants us to have a universal and a spiritual knowledge. And so if there are some things that you don't understand, then maybe you have some more studying to do. And, you know, Brother Rakim, Brother Jason, Brother Richard, myself, you know, it's hard in this society, so to speak, to be different. And I think I have been able to cover up being different for a very long time. But I realize now that I'm not different. I'm who Allah has fashioned me to be. And it's been a long road. So, you know, to tell people that you hear voices and that you know that one voice, I mean, I don't hear voices. I hear one voice, and I've heard that voice ever since I was 4 years of age, and I know who he is. And with everything that I've been through, I've been through incest. I've been through legal problems. I've been homeless. I've been in terrible situations. I've been held hostage over a drug deal. I have been through so much, and I have had a heart condition since the age of 6 years old that they told my father I would be deceased by the age of 20. So if you don't believe that Allah is real, look at me. Because out of all that I have been through, how do you think I'm here? And who do you think talked me through all the things that I have been through when I had no other person there with me? And so I know you've never heard this side of your sister, but I'm telling you what is real. And so what Allah has done is that he has fashioned one that understands me, and that our gifts actually coincide with one another. And all during this year, I have been surrounded by loved ones who also share that same gift. So I'm not strange. I don't feel strange anymore. I have my brother Jason, my brother Rakim, who are also very, very connected in spirit with Allah. And so we are the evidence that Allah is real.
and that Allah is a man, and that we share a bond, and we share a connective energy that bring us all together and make us whole. And in order to do this work, you're going to have to establish your personal relationship with Allah, and Allah blesses whom he pleases. So
right.
I don't think either one of us has asked for this, but all of us are committed to this work. And I just want to say to you, Richard, honey, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I am so proud
of you. And I thank you. And I thank Allah for you. And Brother Jason, I know what you going to say, but I told you earlier it was your willingness to submit to do the will of Allah, because had it not been for that, I may not have ever met Brother Richard. So, I thank you again for bringing my husband to me, and I hope you understand what that means now. And Richard, honey, I'm with you 199.9%, and that other little percent I'm going to keep to myself for the days that you make me mad.
Yes, ma'am.
But I love you so much, and I am so proud to be your wife, because if I tell you this is a beautiful man, and he gives me everything that I need on every level, and I can't thank Allah enough for you. So, honey, thank you, and I love you so very much.
I love you too.
Well, I would like
you to
say, to close out Brother Richard's show, what is a fruit? A fruit is the best. He is constantly training and conditioning himself to meet and overcome all obstacles in his path. His sole purpose is to help deliver the 17 million more dead to the Lamb of God, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, through his apostle, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan Muhammad. He is compelled to be obedient, tolerant, militant, courteous, humble, honest, dependable. A fruit is obedient to the laws of Islam and those in authority. His conduct is militant. He is humble and submissive. He is tolerant and understanding. He is courteous and respectful. He is honest in thoughts, deeds, and actions. He is alert and dependable. May Allah bless all of you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum, sir.